This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Overcoming denial, facing your true emotional state. Why your emotional blind spots are costing you more than you realise. In short, emotional self-awareness denial does not feel like avoidance. It feels like composure. You believe you're handling things well, even when your behaviour says otherwise. The gap between your felt experience and your stated emotional state grows quietly over time. Closing the gap requires honesty before it requires any technique. Definition: emotional self-awareness denial is the unconscious habit of misreading or suppressing your own emotional state to avoid the discomfort of honest self-examination. It prevents you from accurately naming what you feel, which undermines every communication and leadership decision that follows. I have sat across from a man who told me, calmly and with complete conviction, that he was not angry. His jaw was set. His knuckles were white around his coffee cup. He had not slept properly in 3 weeks. He was one of the most furious people I had ever met, and he had no idea. That is what emotional self-awareness denial looks like from the outside. From the inside, it looks like nothing at all. That is precisely why it is so hard to catch in yourself. The feelings you're avoiding do not announce themselves. They stay hidden behind perfectly reasonable explanations, and you carry on convinced that you're simply being professional. This article is for the version of you that suspects something is not adding up. I'm going to name 6 specific signs that your self-awareness has a gap you have not yet faced, explain what is driving each one, and give you a clear first step toward honest ground. When stress gets a different name. Most people do not say I'm afraid or I'm ashamed. They say they are tired, or frustrated, or just busy. Their labelling feels accurate in the moment, and that is what makes it a trap. Sign 1. You explain your physical symptoms without connecting them to your feelings. What it looks like. You notice that your sleep has been poor, your appetite has changed, or you have a persistent tightness in your shoulders. But your explanation is always logistical, a difficult project, a long commute, too many meetings. Why it happens. Acknowledging a physical symptom as emotional feels like weakness to many people, especially those trained in professional environments that reward stoicism. So the body speaks and the mind immediately translates it into something manageable. Why it matters. Physical symptoms are your earliest warning system. When you consistently bypass that signal with a practical explanation, you lose your most reliable indicator that something needs your attention. What to do. The next time you notice a physical sensation at work, pause before you explain it. Ask yourself, if this were an emotion, what would it be? You do not have to accept the answer. Just ask the question. I spent years treating every headache as a hydration problem. It took me an embarrassingly long time to notice the headaches only arrived before certain conversations. Sign 2. You describe yourself as calm in situations that are actually distressing. What it looks like. A colleague challenges your work in a meeting. You tell people afterward that it did not bother you, but you replayed the exchange 4 times on the drive home and brought it up again at dinner. Why it happens. Saying it did not bother me protects your identity as someone who is composed and resilient. The statement becomes a script you run automatically before you've actually checked whether it is true. Why it matters. When you habitually claim composure you do not have, you cut off the feedback loop that would tell you what genuinely needs attention. Over time, you make decisions based on how you think you should feel, not how you actually feel. If you want to understand what happens in the body during this kind of shutdown, the work on what the amygdala hijack does during high-pressure moments explains the mechanism clearly. What to do. After a tense exchange, give yourself 10 minutes before you decide how you feel about it. Resist the urge to land on fine. Sit with the unresolved version for a while. Here is the truth of it. It did not bother me is often the most efficient way to avoid finding out that it did. The signs that look like strength. 2 of the most common forms of emotional self-awareness denial wear the mask of professional maturity. They are the hardest to question precisely because they look like virtues. Sign 3. You pride yourself on never bringing emotions to work. What it looks like. You see emotional neutrality as a professional standard. You do not talk about how you feel. You stay focused on outcomes and facts. You may even be quietly critical of colleagues who express frustration or enthusiasm openly. Why it happens. In many workplaces, emotional disclosure has historically been penalised. You learned that keeping feelings out of the room was the safe strategy, and you got good at it. Why it matters. There is a significant difference between managing your emotional expression and being unaware of your emotional state. The first is a genuine skill. The second is a blind spot. Leaders who cannot read their own emotional state tend to communicate with unintended tone, react disproportionately, and create confusion in the people around them. The link between emotional intelligence and tone in leadership communication becomes starkly clear when self-awareness is absent. What to do? Ask someone you trust. Does my tone ever carry something I do not seem to intend? Their answer will tell you more than any amount of self-reflection. Sign 4. You handle feedback with apparent ease, but it affects your work for days afterward. What it looks like in the room. You nod. You thank the person. You say something measured and gracious. Then you spend the next 3 days second-guessing everything, working longer hours, or becoming slightly cooler toward the person who gave the feedback. Why it happens. Your conscious mind performed acceptance. Your emotional state never agreed to it. The gap between those two things does not disappear. It finds other exits. Why it matters. This is the counterintuitive one. Good feedback responses can themselves be a form of denial. If what looks like openness is actually a performance layered over unexamined defensiveness. Understanding how to stay calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction only works if you are honest with yourself about the fact that a defensive reaction is happening in the first place. What to do? After receiving feedback, notice what you do in the 48 hours that follow. Your behavior is the honest report. Your words in the room are not. What your reactions are actually telling you. Sign 5. You snap at people over small things and immediately explain it as something else. What it looks like. You are sharper than usual with a colleague over a minor issue. Immediately afterward, you attribute it to a specific cause: not enough sleep, a difficult morning, a headache. The explanation is always ready. Why it happens. Rationalization is one of the mind's fastest defenses. You do not have to examine an emotional state if you can assign its expression to a situational cause. The cause may even be partially true, which makes the rationalization more convincing. Why it matters. When your emotional state is consistently explained rather than examined, it cannot be regulated. You remain at the mercy of it while believing you are on top of it. What to do? The next time you snap at someone, do not explain it to yourself immediately. Instead, ask, what was I actually carrying before that happened? Sit with the question for a moment. The real answer is usually older than that morning. After decades of getting this wrong, I can tell you the explanations that come fastest are usually the ones you should trust least. Sign 6. You find it easier to name what you think than what you feel. What it looks like. When someone asks how you're doing with a difficult situation, you give them an analysis. You explain the context, the variables, the likely outcomes. You never quite say how you feel about any of it. Why it happens. Thinking is safer than feeling, especially for people who have built their identity around being competent and clear-headed. Moving directly to analysis, skip the moment of emotional exposure entirely. Why it matters. This pattern matters enormously for leadership. If you cannot access your own emotional experience, you will struggle to respond accurately to others. The ability to name your own state is the foundation of every meaningful connection you build with another person. Confidence in leadership does not come from avoiding emotional data. It comes from trusting yourself to face it. The confidence-competence loop in leadership GOIS depends on honest self-knowledge as its starting point. What to do? When asked how you're doing, try answering with a feeling word before you reach for an analysis. Even a rough one. Honestly. Unsettled. Is more useful than a 6-point breakdown of the situation. The root beneath all of it. Each of these 6 signs is different in its presentation, but they come from the same place. Emotional self-awareness denial is not laziness, and it is not weakness. It is a protection strategy that once served you. At some point, naming your emotional state felt risky professionally, relationally, or personally. So you learned to bypass the naming step and go straight to management or suppression. The problem is that a feeling you cannot name is a feeling you cannot work with. It does not go away. It shapes your decisions, your tone, and your relationships from a position where you cannot see it. Signs that your leadership voice is being driven by anxiety rather than intention often trace directly back to this unexamined emotional layer. This is the disease underneath the symptoms. And once you can name it, you can begin to change it. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books they write every time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. A quick self-check. Where is your awareness right now? Read each statement below. Answer honestly yes or no. I can name the specific emotion I'm feeling right now, not just fine or stressed. When I feel physically tense, I usually know what emotion is driving it. I can describe how I genuinely felt during my last difficult conversation at work. My stated reactions to feedback match how I behaved in the days that followed. When I am frustrated, I notice it before it affects my tone with others. I can tell the difference between what I think about a situation and how I feel about it. When someone asks how I am, I give them an honest answer rather than a managed one. Scoring guide. 6 to 7 yes answers. Your self-awareness is in solid shape. The work now is depth and consistency, not discovery. 4 to 5 yes answers. You have real self-awareness, but significant gaps. 1 or 2 of these signs are likely active for you right now. Fewer than 4 yes answers. Emotional self-awareness denial is costing you more than you know. The good news is that you can see it now. Where to go from here? You do not fix this by reading more about it. You fix it by building a daily practice of honest emotional naming. Before you explain, before you manage, before you perform composure. Start with the physical. Your body will tell you what you feel before your mind will. A tight chest, a clenched jaw, shallow breathing, these are signals, not inconveniences. Practice naming the sensation first, and then asking what emotion it points toward. That single habit, done consistently, will begin to close the gap. From there, the practical work of staying grounded during tense workplace conversations becomes far more effective. The tools for managing your reactions only work if you're honest about what you're actually reacting to. And for leaders who sense that the gap between their confidence and their actual performance is wider than it should be, examining why the confidence-competence loop affects how managers handle tension often begins right here with the willingness to see what you've been carrying without admitting it. Overcoming emotional self-awareness denial does not require you to become someone who talks about feelings at every opportunity. It requires you to stop pretending, at least to yourself, that you do not have them. Frequently asked questions. What is emotional self-awareness denial? Emotional self-awareness denial is the habit of avoiding honest recognition of your own feelings. Instead of naming what you actually feel, you substitute safer explanations or suppress the emotion entirely. It is one of the most common barriers to genuine self-awareness in professional life. How do I know if I am in emotional denial at work? The clearest signs include explaining away recurring frustration, feeling calm in situations that actually distress you, and snapping at people over small things while insisting you are fine. If your stated emotional state rarely matches your physical or behavioral reactions, denial is likely at work. Why is emotional self-awareness denial so hard to overcome? Denial feels protective. It keeps you functioning when facing the truth feels risky or destabilizing. Over time, avoiding your emotional state becomes automatic, and you stop noticing the gap between what you feel and what you tell yourself you feel. Can emotional self-awareness denial affect my leadership? Yes, significantly. Leaders in denial about their own emotional state often communicate inconsistently, react disproportionately to feedback, and create confusion in those around them. People follow your emotional lead whether you intend it or not. What is the first step to overcoming emotional denial? Start by naming what you feel physically, not conceptually. Tension in your chest, a tight jaw, shallow breathing, these are signals your body sends before your conscious mind admits anything. Practice naming the physical sensation before you explain it away. How does denial about emotions differ from staying calm under pressure? Staying calm is a skill built on recognizing your emotional state and choosing how to respond. Denial skips the recognition entirely. One requires self-awareness, the other replaces it. The difference shows up in how consistently and sustainably you perform under real pressure. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.